Good morning. Today's daf and Baba Kama Yud Aleph on Yud Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud Yud Amud Beis. We're going to begin this morning with the words Vesuleka. We are looking for cases in which you do a small contribution towards the Nezek, and meanwhile you're going to be fully liable. Okay, so that's a real riddle where you don't do the entire Nezek. You are responsible only for part of it. You were Makib Patish. You did the final blow to the Nezek, but many other people, doesn't have to be many other people, one other person, two other people, whatever. Other people were contributing factors towards the Nezek, and meanwhile, you're going to be fully liable. Now, the default position is that if there's a Nezek which was done by a group, so then what you're going to have is a shared liability. That would pretty much be the default. However, there are going to be some limited circumstances, and that was yesterday's daf, in which we're looking around, looking for cases in which we can have this funny scenario where you did only part and parcel of the Nezek, and meanwhile you're going to be fully responsible. Why are we doing this? Why are we engaging in such it? Because the Mishnah taught us that such a concept exists. You go back to the Mishnah, the Mishnah is found on Tesamid Beis, and the Mishnah there writes, there are two sentences of the Mishnah that we have gone through. The first sentence, which we spent all of Daf Yud going over, and that's called Shechafti Bishmir Asorich Sharti Nisko. That was one line of the Mishnah, but the very next line of the Mishnah is Ichsharti Bimiksas Nisko, Chafti B'Teshom Nisko, Kehechsher Kol Nisko. Okay, good. So the Mishnah tells us that such a case exists. But of course, the Mishnah does not tell us what the case is, and so therefore, over the course of yesterday's Daf, what we went over is, what exactly is that case? And so we had a Braisa. We had actually two Braisas yesterday. The Gemara itself tried to come up with cases, and the Gemara was not happy with the cases that it came up with. Anyway, go back to yesterday's daf, see the cases of yesterday, five people sitting on a bench, a six person comes in and sits on it, the pit was 9 tefachim deep, along comes a person and digs one more tefach. Okay, go back to yesterday's daf. Vesuleka, the Gemara says, now, you mean to tell me that there are no other cases? We can come up with another case, Vayika Hadetanya. The Gemara over here goes over the following Braisa. He kaw asar b'nei adam be'eser maklos. Bein b'bachas, bein b'zachazeh, umeis kulam peturim. So let's say it was a gang that beat somebody to death. Right? Terrible. Obviously. But in other words, there was no one person who committed the death, who committed the murder. It was only through a group effort. So now over here, kulam peturim. So they're all going to be exempt from Mises Beis Din. And if you've been with me in the daf long enough, you'll know. Right? You probably already know what I'm going to say. In other words, the exemption over here is not from any kind of liability. The exemption over here is not from being a murderer. In other words, those group, that gang over there, are a gang of murderers. It just happens to be that for capital punishment, so there are very specific criteria in terms of when does a Beis Din put somebody to death for a capital crime. And over here for the crime of murder, so you have to be solely responsible for the murder. Okay, so it's a patur, but only from Mises Beis Din. In other words, but the label murderers can still apply to every one of them. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra remembers Zechazachar and Chaim and Meshachir v'z Misasol. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra says, I mostly agree, except in the case of Zechazach. In other words, if it's a gang beating, but the gang is not beating simultaneously altogether, but rather the gang is beating consecutively. Each one of them is taking a turn. And so now gang members 1 through 9, so give this guy a significant beating. And then number 10, the 10th guy, so he also now, but he's taking his turn, he's doing it in his turn. So the halach is, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, the last one is a rotzeach subject to capital punishment. Why? Because he did kreves amita. So, we have now uncovered a scenario in which you just made a contribution. Obviously, you were makib patish, you made a significant contribution, but you weren't the only one responsible for the death. In other words, you by yourself and the beating that you gave the individual would not have put the person to death had it not been for the 9 who came prior. No. And so now what we have is we have a case. We have a case where you are just you're a contributor. You're not the sole a responsible party, and yet, in terms of liability, we're going to treat you as if you are the sole responsible party. Now, mind you, by the way, that first of all, it's a machlokas, meaning in the braisa that we just cited, it's a machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, And this argument only rings true according to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. But still, we have another scenario, albeit only according to one opinion. So the Gemara says, "Bekatala lo kamayi." So why didn't we give this as a case? Because we're not talking about murder. We're not talking about death. We're talking about nezek. This is Baba Kama. We're talking about nezek. Alternatively, what you could also say is that maybe we're ready to entertain this case as one as relevant to our discussion, but it's a machlokas, and we don't want to give cases that are only subject to machlokas. The Gemara says, "V'lova ukimnan delo karebi." Now, remember the first case that we gave in yesterday's daf. Yeah, the pit was dug 9 tefachim deep by one person, and then another person comes along and added that 10th tefach. And we said under those circumstances that was a brisa, and we said under those circumstances that the one who dug the 10th tefach is in fact going to have the full liability. And the Gemara noted that Rebbe doesn't agree. Okay, so you want to tell me that we're not interested in a machlokas? We only want something, a case that's divrei hakol according to everybody. But the Gemara says, go back to what we learned yesterday. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, no, v'lova hakimna delo karebi. So the Gemara says, delo karebi ucharabanan mukminan karebi Yehuda ben Becerra v'lo karabanan lo mukminan. So the Gemara says, you know, there's machlokas and then there's machlokas, meaning that in yesterday's daf. So we gave a case that satisfied most opinions. Okay, so Rebbe disagrees, which is not insignificant. But he's a Das Yachid, but at least the case satisfies the majority viewpoint. Over here, the case that you just gave me, where it was a gang beating. It was not simultaneous, it was consecutive. It was Zach or Zach. And the last person now with that last beating put him to death. Only according to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra is that last person going to have the liability of being a murderer. But the Chachamim disagree. So in other words, so over here, it's not only a machlokas, but in order for this to be a case that will fit into our narrative, we have to go like the Das Yachid as opposed to the Das Rabim. The Gemara says that's why over here, uncomfortable with introducing this as a case that fits in our narrative. Okay, chavte b'teshul minezek. Okay, good. So Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's discussion. We're still in yesterday's stuff, but at least we finished now the Gemara's discussion regarding how could it be that you just made a contribution towards the Nezik and you're fully liable? Good. So the Gemara went over a number of suggestions in terms of what would be a case that would fit into that category. Really, when all said and done, there aren't that many cases that fit into that category, but they're out there. Next, we're going on to the next line of the Mishnah, Chafti B'Teshul Minizko, and the Gemara now is going to be Medayik. In the language of the Mishnah, Chafti B'Nizko, Loketani Ella B'Teshlume Nizko. Now, the Mishnah could have just simply said that you were Chov B'Nezek. You're obligated to pay for damages, but it says Teshlume Nezek. And what is, that word is, it seems to be extraneous. Obviously, the Mishnah is trying to make a point. What is the point of the Mishnah? Tanila Hadatan Rabbanan, Teshlume Nezek Malam Shabbalam Metaplam B'Nevela. So over here, we're going to learn a halacha together, and that is that the owner is metapel ben nevela. And that means as follows, that let's say I or my property damages somebody else's animal to the point where the animal now is dead. Okay, I did nezek, right? The animal while alive was worth X, and now a dead animal, it's worth less, X minus Y. Okay, whatever the numbers are. And so now the halacha is going to go like this. It's going to seem a little bit unfair, but this is the halacha. And that is that as far as the damaged party is concerned, so now obviously he is entitled to reimbursement. However, in other words, the damages were X minus Y. In other words, he had an animal that was worth X, and now it was killed by me, either me or my property killed it. So now it's a nevela. So now it's worth less. Okay, but it's not worth zero. A nevela's got value. A nevela's got value. So that value now belongs to whom? So it belongs to the nizak, not the mazik. And therefore, what the nizak now is going to do is he's going to appraise the value of the nevela, whatever it's worth, and that's going to be deducted off the nezek. Oh. So the reason why the Mishnah says the words tashlume is because really what I have to do as a mazik is simply pay the balance. Oh. Okay. Now, and Menahanimila, the Gemara says, now this halacha of metaplim bin nevela, So how many times is the Torah going to teach us this halacha? Watch carefully. Three. Let's go. Amar Abi Amid Adamakra Makanefesh Behem Yishalmenu. So Al Tikri Yishalmenu Ella Yashlimena. Okay, so so number one, this is found in Parshas Zemor, the end of Parshas Zemor, where there the Torah goes on to describe where you do the damage to an animal. Okay, that's Niske Adam, right? You're the one doing the damage. And the Niske Adam, when you damage somebody's animal, so now what you do, you kill somebody's animal, however you did it, right? You ran your car into somebody's animal, okay? However it's done. And so now, obviously, the Nevela still has some value. We assess what that value is. That's going to be deducted off the Nezek. Good. So, Rav Kahana, Amar Mehacha, Im Tarof Yitarev Yavio Eid HaTrefa Lo Yishalem. So, we have another pasuk that's in Parshas Mishpatim. And if you look contextually in the Pesukim, you're going to see it's dealing with a Shomer Sachar. Somebody who was watched, someone who was asked to be a custodian, but as a paid position. The Torah goes on to describe him. And if, let's say, the animal was torn up, so then you simply bring a witness to this event, and lo yishalem, and you're going to be exempt from having to pay. So now, atrefa yishalem, trefa atzma lo yishalem. So now the Gemara is going to be darshaning. Whenever there's a payment that needs to be done, it's ad trefa. Now the pasuk says in the pasuk itself is Yaviu aid, but the Gemara now is darshaning atrefa, meaning that as far as your payment is concerned, so that's going to be up until trefa, but you don't have to pay beyond the trefa. Why? Because the trefa belongs to the nizak, so already that's a value that's to him. And chizki amar mehacha. And now, so far we have 1, 2. Now we're going to get a third drusha to this point, and that is vehamesi yalo lenizak. So over here, this is a pasuk that deals with shur shenagach shur. Also found in Parshas Mishpatim and the Perek Chaf Aleph. So v'amesi yalo, and the dead belongs to him. Pronoun, which him? There's a mazik, there's a nizak. So the understanding of the Braisa is nizak. V'chein tanda bechizkia v'amesi yalo l'nizak. Ata omer l'nizak oino l'mazik. The Braisa itself wonders, how did you know? So amart lo kachaya. So the Braisa says, nah, I know. So that's a funny way to end the discussion. How do you know? I know. So the my lo kachaya, the Gemara goes over this last point to the Braisa. Yeah, so how do you know? So I'm Rabbi Yitzhak Adachan Nevela Demazik Ave Lechta Vrechmana Shor Tachas Ashor Velishtok. The Hames Yiyeh Lo Lamali Shmamina Lenizak. Okay. So the last words of Hames Yiyeh Lo are totally extraneous. They are superfluous. And therefore, coming to teach me a Nizak that belongs to the Nizak. So now we have not one, but three different drushas in the Torah that tells me that when I damage an animal's animal, when I damage a person's animal and the animal now is dead as a result of my damages, obviously I have to pay for the damages. However, before we pay the damages, a deduction is done because he owns a carcass has value. And so therefore my damages is that I did kill the animal, but he owns a carcass which has some value. That gets deducted off the nezek. I only pay the balance. And we're learning it in three different psukim in the Torah. And you know what the Gemara is going to ask next, because this is classic. And that is, why do I need three? Tzricha. Okay, I have one in Parshas Emor, and I have two in Parshas Mishpatim. The one in Emor is Adam killing an animal. And in Mishpatim, I have Shomer Sachar, and I have Shor Shenagach Shor. So why do I need all three drashas? Tzricha, di kasa rachman amake behem yishamenu, if I only had the Parshas Emor. So mishum delo shchicha. So that's very uncommon. A person killing an animal, unusual. So aval trefa de shchicha im alom. So but the idea that your animal is going to be torn up by a wild animal, that's much more common. So therefore, I would have thought that maybe we should be machmir on the mazik, having the mazik be metapel. So tzricha. Now, if we're talking about trefa, so that was something that was done, that a wild animal went and tore up an animal that I was watching, so that's mimela. That was something that happened on its own. I didn't do it, meaning I'm responsible, but I didn't do it. But that you do with your own hands, I would have said, No, don't leave the carcass with the nizak. The mazik should have to deal with the carcass. If I had these two and only these two, so there, as we just pointed out, there are arguments that you can make that the mazik shouldn't be responsible. But shor shenagach shor d'shricha uviyadayim. So over here, when my shor damages another person's shor, so number one, the Gemara calls it shchiach. It's common. Okay, all right. Not really sure what the definition of common is in this context, but the Gemara says it. So, in other words, maybe the Gemara over here means relatively speaking, whatever. The Gemara says it's common. That's number one. And number two, it's biyadayim. Now, biyadayim also, another interesting adjective over here. I did it with my hands. I didn't do it with my hands. It was my animal that damaged somebody else's animal. But the point is that it was actively done by, in this case, not me, but my property. But that's called biyadayim. So over here it's shchiach and it's biyadayim. So I would have said, we're not going to give the mazik a pass. He's going to have to deal with the nevela. So I am alone. So the Gemara says, v'yash min ha-mezi yalo. Now, if I only had this case over here of shor shenagach shor.
It means it's shchiach because it's a shor hamiyat.
Because it's a shor hamuan. Okay. Oh, okay, good. Could be. V'yash min ha-mezi yalo. Mishum de mamonika mazik av ahacha. But over here. So, in the case of Parsha Semor, you did it yourself. So then maybe I would have thought that we shouldn't leave it to the Nizak, but rather it should be the responsibility of the Mazik. So Tzricha, therefore, they're both necessary. Okay. Good. So the idea that the Nizak is metapa benevela, three times over in the Torah, this point is being made, and not only was the point made, but why I need all three. Good. Now, everyone here has been kind and patient, and the obvious question. Wait one second. Let's get this straight. I do damage to somebody's property. Okay? The damage that I did not reduce this property down to zero. In other words, it still has some value to it. So that value gets deducted, and I only have to pay the balance. And I have a drasha. Not one, not two, but three drashas that make this point. The Gemara is about to ask the following question. I don't need any drasha. I need zero drashas, and we would have arrived at the same conclusion. Please consider. Meaning, what happens when I do damage? I have to pay. How do I have to pay? So if I'm paying with property, so what do we know? Meitav sadeo, meitav karmo yishalem. You pay with the best, but you don't have to pay with property. You can pay with money. Not only can you pay with money, you can even pay with any item and any commodity. So, I did damage to a person's property, and in this case, his animal, and I took its value down to from 100 to let's say 50. I'm just throwing out numbers. Okay, great. So now, what are we learning together? I only have to pay the balance. What difference does it make whether it's the nizaks or it's the mazaks? In other words, when all said and done, it's an Ezox, I deduct the 50. Right. And if it's a Mazik, so you know what I would do? Okay, it's my problem? Great. Here. Here's that. Right. So now, here's the carcass, and now I'll pay you the difference. So what in the world do I need a drasha? Not once, but three times over to tell me that you can use a carcass as part of the payment towards the balance. Of course you can. You can pay anything you want. The Gemara's question. So, d'day mi baye? So the Gemara says, I don't understand. You can pay with whatever you want. So over here, if the treifa in fact belonged to the mazik, so let the mazik pay with the treifa. What's the chiddush over here? So the Gemara says, that is such an outstanding point. What we really mean over here is not that the Nizak is metapa benevela, but here is now the, I want to say penalty. We're penalizing the Nizak. I know it's just so uncomfortable to say it in those ways. But in other words, but there is going to be a loss suffered by the Nizak, and that is pchas nevela. Okay. Nevela is a depreciating asset. I think we can all appreciate that. It's a depreciating asset. In other words, because what happens is that the animal is now dead, and decomposition is going to be starting real soon. Now, with a nevela, what can you do with it? So you yourself can't eat it, but You can, right, you can take off the hide, you can feed it to your dog, right? There are still usages that come out of it, but again, it's organic and it's going to decompose and it's going to go from, let's say, 50, and you just wait long enough and it's going to depreciate significantly, okay? Kind of like a car. So it's a depreciating asset. And so now who's suffering that depreciation? That's now what we're learning together. The Nizak is suffering the depreciation of the depreciating asset. Now, to the question of that doesn't seem fair, I hear you. And I don't fully understand why that should be, but that's the din. The din is that the Nizak is the one who's going to be suffering the depreciating asset. So Lema
Pcha. Nizak has no choice though, right?
I mean,
whatever the mazik does, the mazik does.
No, in that regard, he has no choice. But, in other words, after the damage is done, if he doesn't turn around and sell the nevela right away, so in other words, let's say it went from 100 to 50, and now, so from the mazik standpoint, he only has to make up the balance, so he only has to pay 50. So good. So now let's say the nizak was not super quick about selling the carcass, and the carcass now went from 50 down to 20. And he only was able to recoup 20. So from the mazik standpoint, as far as his balance sheet is concerned, it's 50. 50 has already been paid. Those $30 of that depreciating asset is going to be suffered by the nizak.
For waiting.
Just for waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though he was the damaged party.
Right.
Okay. It goes back to
when the mazik pays the difference, does he have to take into account the time the nizak has to spend to sell it or something? It's got a value.
Right. Correct. In other words, correct. There are.
Does that count?
I don't know. It's a fair question. I don't know. I hear. I totally hear. Lema.
It doesn't sound like it because it says the hamud of the din, not the hamud of the din. So it's.
Yeah.
Whatever, it doesn't sound like because he
at that point, that's
right.
All that it's worth. That's it.
Lema pchas nevela tanai. The Gemara wants to suggest that really it's a machlokas tanai. Detanya, we learned in the Brisa. Tarefi, yaviu aid. So, yaviu aidim, shenitrafa ba'ones, upater. Okay, so. In this brisa that we're learning together, so what do you do? So what you're going to do is you're going to bring a witness that it was done by ones. So therefore, the shomer sacher could be pater because the shomer sacher is only going to be pater in the case of ones geneva v'aveda. So he's going to be chayav. He's a shomer sacher. Anyway, I'm assuming everyone knows the dalat shomrim and the levels of liability of the dalat shomrim. Okay, I'm just assuming. So anyway, so Abba Shalom Yaviu Aduda. Now, according to Abishal, what you do is you bring the aduda. Now, that's an unusual term, the term aduda. Aduda over here is a reference to nevela. Okay, Tosus over here has a number of other girsals. Regardless. The point is that the nevela, let's just keep it simple. Nevela is brought to the basin. So, my labakim, if nevela, denizek have. Okay. So, now, it could very well be like this, meaning, we clearly have a machlokas in this brisa. What are they arguing about? So what the Gemara now is at least presenting, suggesting, is that according to Abba Shaul, so who is responsible for that depreciating asset? So that's going to be the nizak. And you're going to bring the nevela to the basin. Kodem shepoches erka, before its value goes down. Because in other words, whatever depreciation occurs is going to be suffered by the nizak. That would be the opinion of Abba Shaul. And according to the other position, no, it belongs to the depreciating asset is going to be suffered by the mazik. So in other words, if its depreciation went from 50 down to 20, I'm just again throwing out numbers. So that $30 is going to be suffered by the mazik, not the nizak. And so now this idea of pchas nevelam, at least the Gemara is entertaining. That's a machlokas tanai. Lo, the Gemara says, great. I'm happy we entertained it. It's not true. Ama denizak nevela kamiflagi. So over here, as far as pchas nevela is concerned, that's going to be suffered by the nizak. Nothing to discuss over there. Torch nevela, the towing. Okay. Again, I know I'm using modern terminology, but the towing and the transportation. Right. My animal fell into somebody's pit, and now great. So as far as pchas nevela is concerned, so that's going to be on the nizak. Okay, but who's getting the animal out of the pit? Okay, so that is subject to a machlokas. So Vehatanya, the Gemara says, and not only that it's clear that that's what they're arguing about, because we have another brisa that supports. Usually, you see the word Vehatanya. The Vehatanya is a challenge over here. It's bin nichusa. So Acher Mom and Minanche Shal Balabor Lalo Shor Mi Baru Tamalamra Kesef Yashiv Labalav Vehames. Okay, now in the world of Joshua, by the way, the comma does not go after the word Vehames. The comma goes before the word Vehames. But we're darshaning right now. And in this drush, kesef yashiv labalav, you return money to the owner and vehames, and you return also the carcass as well to the owner. So over here in this brisa, towing is the responsibility of the mazik, not the nizak. The depreciating value is going to be suffered by the nizak, but the towing is going to be responsible by the mazik. So amalei abai l'rava hai toruch nevela hechidami. So the Gemara says, okay, now this idea of Toruch Nevela. So let's try to clear this point up a little bit. Ilema de bibira shavi zuzava ve'aguda shavi arba ki Toruch b'danav sheitarach. So the Gemara says, well, if in the pit it's worth one, and outside the pit it's worth four, so I can totally, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that towing is going to be on the mazik. The mazik is going to want to tow, because consider, whatever the animal is worth is going to be deducted off the nezek. So if the animal is worth more outside the pit, four times more worth outside the pit, you can imagine the mazik is going to, you know, get the towing company and get that animal out of there. Because, in other words, I'm going to be able to deduct not one, but rather four. It's a no-brainer. It's easy finances. So amalei lo tzricha de bibir shav yezuzah v'agud anami shav yezuzah. So the Gemara says, no, what we're talking about is a case in which in the pit the animal is worth one zuz, and outside the pit the animal is worth one zuz. So in other words, there is no financial benefit for the mazik to tow it outside the pit, and that's exactly the point. That if I'm of the position that Torach Nevela is on the mazik, even though there's no financial gain for the mazik, he's the one responsible for towing. The Gemara says, now, it sounds a little bit absurd. In other words, I'm selling you my animal. In other words, valuing an animal. It's in the pit versus outside the pit. So if I sell an animal that's in the pit, you don't think it's going to be valued less? In other words, whoever's going to buy it now is going to have to get it out of the pit. The Gemara says, I don't understand from a marketing standpoint. How can an animal in the pit be the same as outside the pit? Gemara gives an answer. The Gemara says, it can happen. Hadamri Inshi, you know, people say, Kshur b'masa b'zuzu, kshur b'dabra b'zuzu. You know, a beam in the city is a zuz, a beam outside the city is a zuz. Meaning, sometimes it happens, even though market forces would normally indicate that it's going to be a question of supply and demand. But nevertheless, sometimes, right, you're buying in the city, you're buying out in the out of town. Sometimes it can be the same price. And the Gemara is basically saying it's true. It can happen over here as well. Sometimes an animal in the pit is worth one. Sometimes out of the pit it's worth one. Adkan. Okay, so what have we just covered over here in the Gemara, right? The beginning of Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, and that is the idea of Chas Nevela. In other words, when you do damage, specifically you go and you kill another person's animal, either you do it, your animal does it, regardless of how it happens. So now what's going to happen is that the carcass still has value. Whatever the value of that carcass is going to be deducted off the Nezek, and I only have to pay the balance. That's easy, meaning that's a gimme. What we're also learning together is that the carcass is a depreciating asset. It's going to depreciate. The more time you wait, the lower in value it's going to get. It's a depreciating asset. And who's suffering that depreciation? The nizak is going to be suffering the depreciation, not the mazik. Why? Because we have a drasha. And then the last point that we just went over is who's responsible for towing? The mazik's going to be responsible for towing, even though he doesn't have a financial gain. Next, Amalei Abai LaRava Hai Tarech Nevela Hechidami. No, I did that. Amar Shmuel Ein Shamin Lo Laganav Lo Laganav Ela Lanizakin Vani Omer Af LeShoel VaAba Modeli. Okay, so you're a ganav, you're a gazlan. Okay, so I went over to you and I stole from you. Okay, good. So now, let's say that what I do now is that after I stole from you, so I broke it. It has residual value. So how about this? I'm coming back over to you and I hand you now your broken watch. We assess how much its residual value is, and I just pay you the balance. Right? That's fair, right? So Shmuel says, nothing doing. In other words, by Geneva, by Gzela, so there is no, we're not gonna have a Shuma. We're not gonna have an appraisal. In other words, you stole a watch, you know what you're gonna be returning? You're gonna be returning a watch. You wanna fulfill the mitzvah of a Heshiv as Gzela, you have to return the watch. And you can't just simply give him, you know, some, you know, the broken item and just make up the difference. So it's true by Geneva, by Gzela, that we don't do a Shuma. This only exists in the world of Nezek. Now I say even Shoel and Abba, which is the way Shmuel describes Rav, he agrees with me as well. Now you talk about dangling modifiers. Right, I wasn't so good in high school, and I wasn't so good in English. Okay, you could still argue the same, but nevertheless, so dangling modifier, and that is that over here, afle shoel, even shoel. Which way are we going? Meaning, we made two disparate points in the brisa. One is that we're not going to do an assessment for a ganav and a ganav and a gazlan. We are going to do an assessment for a mazik. No, okay, good.
What about knas? If they steal the item, down, don't they have to pay?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Not always. If they come back on their own, so they don't have to pay knas. Okay, good. So the v'ani omer afle shoel. Now I say even shoel. Well, which direction did you go? The Gemara's next question. Nibailu. Hachi kamer afle shoel shaman v'aba modeli odilma hachi kamer v'ani omer afle shoel ein shaman v'aba modeli. And literally, we can go in one of two ways. And tashma dehu gavad shoel naga mechavrei. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what happened, and that is the person borrowed an axe, Tavra, and he broke the axe, and it was Poshea. Okay, so now you borrowed, you broke it, you got to pay for it. So Asla kamid Rav Amalei Zoshlim Le Nargamalia. And now, what do you got to do? You got to replace it with a brand new axe. So Shmamina Ain Shaman. Oh, okay, good. So in other words, based on the story and based on how Rav Paskin, so now you know that the axe is falling under the category of Geneva Gzela. Meaning, Geneva Gzela, you can't just simply give, you know, the broken pieces and assess the broken pieces and pay the difference. No. In other words, by Geneva, by Gzela, and by She'ela, so it has to be a full replacement of that which you broke. So, Adrab and Midamer, Le Rav Gan, Virav Asila Rav, Dina Achiv Shasik, Shmamina Shaman. So the Gemara has a comeback. And that is that no. Meaning, move on in that story. I know Rav said that you have to do a full replacement. But then Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were there, and they turned to Rav and they said, is that the correct halacha? And Rav didn't answer them, as if basically to say, you may be right. Now, interestingly, they're the Talmidim. He's the Rebbe and they're the Talmidim. But apparently, in other words, they're not just Talmidim, but they are skilled and schooled in halacha. And maybe they just very politely reminded Rav, we don't think the halach is that way. So Shmamina Shaman. So the Gemara says, okay. So from here, you could actually conclude the other way, that you do make a Shuma, that you can give back the broken and just simply assess what that is and then pay the difference. Okay, Itmar.
What about a renter?
Right, Gemara. Good question. The Gemara doesn't discuss. I don't know. Itmar Amar Ulam Rabbi Lazar Shaman Laganav Lagazan, Rabbi Papa Amar Ain Shaman Veokasa, Ain Shaman Laganav Lagazan, Velashol Shaman Kidrav Ganav Ravasi. Okay, good. And the Gemara arrives at a conclusion, and that is that Ganav Gazan, no Shuma. Right? You steal something, you broke it, you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Eishiv HaSegzela, full replacement. Not just give back broken pieces and the difference and the balance. No, full replacement. That's for Geneva, that's for Gzela. But for She'ela, you do make a Shuma. Okay. Like Nezek. Okay. Adkan, that takes us not to the end of today's daf, but that takes us to the end of Baba Kama for today. For the remainder of today, the truth of the matter is that we're going to come back to Baba Kama in just a little bit. But now, we are just simply going to bounce through a number of disparate topics. Okay. We're really going to just go off-road right now. And the reason why we're going off-road is because Amar Ula Amar Rebbe Lazar. Okay, so in other words, Itmar, we just quoted Amar Ula Amar Rebbe Lazar. And so you have this specific Baal Memra, and so what the Gemara does is it strings together a number of halachic points that were said by this particular Memra. That's the connection. That's the only connective tissue between the next 3 to 4 halachas that we're going to be discussing. Okay, next. Amar Ulam Rabbi Elazar Shol Yishatza Miksasa B'Yam Risha Miksasa B'Yam Sheni Monim La Min Arisha. Okay, this honestly is very complicated, very detailed, and I'm going to do this too quickly. I apologize on the front end. So, but if you know your halachas of Tumah Tahara when it comes to childbirth, that's great. And if you're not fluent right now with your halachas, I'm going to admit my explanation will be insufficient. So anyway, so what happens is that the woman is miscarrying, and the only thing that comes out is an amniotic sac. Okay, I'm assuming right now that the show is a reference to amniotic sac. I know it could be a placenta, but let's, for our purposes today, let's just simply assume it's an amniotic sac. And so what happens is that it comes out. Some of it came out on day one. Some of it came out on day two. So the halacha is monim lo miyom rishon. So now what we're going to assume is as follows. A number of assumptions that are made, and that is there was no fetus. We didn't discover any fetus. The fetus, the rachmanis, what happened was is that the fetus dissolved. And the dissolved fetus is now in the amniotic sac. And so therefore, with the emergence, the discharge of the amniotic sac, so there's fetus also in the amniotic sac. Okay. And in terms of the counting of the days of Tumah Tahara, we count from the first day. In other words, the emergence of the sac was a 2-day affair, real rachmanas. And so what, in terms of minyan and counting, we count from day one. So Amale Rava Maida Tachla Chomer Chomadasuli Dekulu Dekam Mitarin Le Mirishon. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. In other words, counting from day one. So granted, by the way, that we're being machmer, but at the same time, we're also going to be mekel, because we're counting from day one, not only the Yemei Tumah, but the Yemei Tahara as well. And now you may be being mitarer her 1 day early, because maybe the birth of the baby did not come on day one, but rather on day two. El amarav alachush choshashes. So mimna lo mimne el sheni. So the Gemara says, fair, super fair. So on this amniotic sac that comes out of her over the course of 2 days, so day number one, we're going to at least suspect that the dissolved fetus came out on day one, but we don't know. And therefore, we're also going to suspect that it came out on day two. And so all minyanim, all counts are going to be from day two. So the so the Gemara says, okay. So, and the Chiddush is that some of the placenta comes out, and there's going to be dissolved fetus in the placenta. Once again, I said placenta, but right now I'm assuming amniotic sac, whichever one is correct. So, but right now I'm assuming amniotic sac. So, Tanina, we learned in a brisa, shilya shiyatsa miksasa sura ba'achila simon vlad beisha simon vlad bebehema. So, let's say you have the shilya that came out, the amniotic sac came out, and this is of an animal. Okay, now. If the amniotic sac did not come out and we shechted the mother while the amniotic sac was inside of the mother, so halacha allows you to eat not only the shechted mother, but also the amniotic sac as well. Because we have this idea that you can shecht a pregnant animal and you can eat the fetus. The shechita works not only for the mother, but also for the fetus as well. And so over here, we're assuming that the fetus dissolved into the amniotic sac. Okay, so you can eat the amniotic sac. So, the Gemara says that's true, but if all I had was a Mishnah, as we turn to the Amud Beis, Yesh Miksas Shol Yibalo Vlad. So, Gzera Miksasu Atukulo. So, I would have thought that, look, maybe there can be Miksas Shol Yibalo Vlad. And over here, the concern is Miksasu Atukulo. But the it's Gzera Derabanan, meaning if only part of the amniotic sac came out, so then the Chachamim said as Gzera, we're going to treat it as if there was dissolved fetus in the partial amniotic sac. But it only has Xera. So because what if the majority or all the amniotic sac came out? So Kamash Malan. So what Ulam wants to be clear about is that even with partial amniotic sac, you can have fetus in partial amniotic sac. Okay. I admit, I did that too quickly. It's obviously a tangent from our Gemara over here. And when we do Nida, we'll do all that much better. Come back in 3 years from now. approximately. Okay, here we go with more Rachmanus, and that is that the firstborn baby, and Rachmanus had died within 30 days, right? The word nitrof usually means that it has a injury in which it's going to die. But over here, nitrof, Rashi understands, means that it actually died within 30 days. So ain't po no so, so there's no pigeon a bed. V'chein teni rami barchama mitoch shenemar, padot tifte, yachol afilo nitrof b'tzoch shoshim yom tamalamra, ach, chilek. So the word ach is mechalek. And the halach is that Rachmanus, the baby dies within 30 days, and it was a firstborn, there's not going to be a mitzvah pigeon a ben. Amar ulam rebelaz behemagasa, nicknas bemashicha. How do you acquire behemagasa? Behemagasa is 1,000 pounds, right? More, right? I told you, what was it? Cholomoed sukkus? Yeah, cholomoed sukkus. Yeah? Okay, I think so. So we went out to the farm in Central Florida, and we saw the birth of a baby. Baby calf came out, at a very light 80 pounds. Okay. Beautiful. And just a warning, by the way, once you see something, you can't unsee it. Okay, so, okay, the image is in my head. So anyway, so the Amar Ula Amar Rebelazar Behemagasa Niknas Bemashicha, how you kona a Behemagasa? So you do so Bemashicha. Avan Antanam Bemesira. So the Gemara says, well, that's interesting. We did this back in Kedushin not so long ago. Kedushin Chav Hei. So, okay. So about 3 months ago, a little bit less. Anyway, so we said that Mesira, you hand the reins over to another person. That's the Kenyan. So the Gemara says, "Hu damer ki aitana detanya v'chacham amam zuba zuba mishicha." Rabbi Shimon amar zuba zuba hakba. Okay. So the Gemara points out machlokas tanaim. If I remember correctly, I wish my memory is that good, but I think there were four shitas on the matter. Anyway, it happens to be that Ula is following the opinion that the method of kinyan is going to be with Meshicha. Amar Ula Amar Abelazar Achin Shechalku Masha Aleihem Shamin Masha Abaneim of Neseim Ein Shamin. So, you have now a distribution of the estate. In other words, we are dissolving the estate, distributing it amongst the shareholders that would otherwise known be the brothers. So, what gets assessed as part of the estate? So, basically, all assets except the clothing worn by the children. Clothing worn by the children, so are not going to be appraised as part of the estate. Now, ain't shaman. Now, it's so funny. Why not? Meaning, if those clothing worn by the children are in fact part and parcel of the estate, and we're looking right now to divide the estate, so why don't we assess the clothing worn by the children? Right? Anyone see how much shoes cost these days? So Rashi over here explains, because that would require us to bring the children into court, and Rashi says, and we're not going to do that. And in other words, an explanation of the Gemara, in other words, to bring children to court, we're not going to do. Whatever clothing they have, it's just simply going to be now not considered part and parcel of the estate. Okay. So, ain't shaman. Amra papa pamim af masha aleim ain't shaman. So, mishkachala begdole ache denichalahu. And the Gemara says, and I'll give you one other example where we're also not going to consider part and parcel of the estate, and that's going to be clothing worn by the oldest brother. The oldest brother who was there advocating on behalf of the estate, in other words, he basically was, now I say this not fully understanding the legal implications, but he's basically the executor of the estate. But he's advocating. He's advocating on behalf of the estate. And so now he needs to look good. He needs to dress well. And so what he can do is he can expense. In other words, so now he's taking some money from the estate in order to pay for the wardrobe, but the estate wants that because when he's advocating on behalf of the estate, so he wants to look good, they want him to look good. In other words, you look good, that's better advocacy. So over here, that's not considered his share of the estate. Rather, that's a proper expense of that he can expense the estate, and that is now, and that's going to be off the table in terms of distribution. And so therefore, when appraising, that suit is not going to be included. And so the rest obviously is. Okay, Adkan. We're going to stop over here tomorrow. Tomorrow, Shomer Shemasal Shomer. Great. So we will continue tomorrow with a really interesting topic. And that is that sub-shomer. Sub-shomering. Okay. Good. Adkan, we're going to pause over here. Most of our daf today, we talked about Pchas Nevela, right? Being metapa benevela, pachas nevela, and then we went on to discuss a number of random topics, but all with the same ba memra of Ula Amar Rebbe Lazar.